Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Jeremy Rocket from Gonzales Bias. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. Last week we talked about Fino sherries and a wee bit about how the Solera system works and all those sort of complexities.
Yep.
This week I want to taste a few more of the different types of wines and just a bit of a chit chat about it.
Okay.
The next one we're going to taste is...
We're going to taste an Amontillado next, actually.
All right. So what is Amontillado?
Yeah, the easiest way to think about an Amontillado is it's a Fino that's aged. It is part of the Fino family.
And it's aged in barrel. I'm just smelling it now.
Yeah,
and it smells a mixture of Fino, but also vanilla in there, like a new oak barrel.
Yeah. So last time we tried a Fino, and that was about 4.5 years old. So a lot of the Fino we would bottle and we would sell as Fino. But some of it we would take and we would put into another barrel. So we would continue the Solera process. And after a few more years... The yeast is looking for nutrients. So as well as surviving on oxygen, which is above it, it's also looking for nutrients in the wine. So sugar, glycerol, amino acids, proteins, that kind of thing. But as you refreshing the next barrel with the wine from the previous year, suddenly you're introducing wine that has no more nutrients because the yeast in the previous barrel
got it all, yeah.
So what happens then is the yeast starts to die. And as the yeast dies, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner on the surface. It gets patchy. And then the wine starts to age in contact with the air. And as the wine starts to age in contact with the air, it starts to oxidize. And in the same way as you cut an apple in half, it goes brown, the wine starts to go brown. And that's why you get this beautiful sort of copper color. So the other thing is that oxidation gives you flavors of kind of dried fruits and nuts.
Yeah.
So what you've got here is a wine that started life as a Fino. This is about 10 years old. It spent half its life as a Fino sherry. And then the floor started to die and then it starts to oxidize. So it's kind of halfway between the two. But it will always be an Amontillado. And we have a 30-year-old Amontillado, which you don't get much floor when you smell it. But it's still an Amontillado because it started its life as a Fino sherry.
But it does smell. It reminds me of oak barrels. You know.
Well, it's spent on a sherry, a young sherry. You're not looking for any oak influence. But the older a sherry gets, the longer it's spending in the barrel, the more oak influence you're going to get.
Okay.
But you've got to remember, these are barrels that we season incredibly well before we even use them.
Yeah.
And they're big barrels as well. They're 500 or 600 liters. So we're doing everything we can not to get too much oak influence. But there is certainly, at this sort of age, starting to be some oak.
Okay. It's quite an attractive smelling wine. It has that freshness and dryness you get from the Fino as well.
Still incredibly dry, because the other thing that happens to sherry as it ages is it concentrates in the barrel because water evaporates, which concentrates.
An angel share.
Well, it's like an angel share, but it's water, unfortunately, not alcohol. And as the water evaporates, the alcohol goes up because that stays in the barrel and everything else goes up. But if you start off with a dry wine, you never end up with a sweet wine because you can concentrate no sugar and you still get no sugar.
Yeah.
So Amontillados are always incredibly dry throughout their life.
One of the things I don't understand is I've been taught, and I believe it to my bones, that sherry is a wine that needs to be drunk young and fast. You know, you open a bottle up and get through it in the next day or two and try and preserve it as much as you can. It doesn't have a lot of legs for staying power. Whereas you're saying this is a Fino that's... Basically, it's like being left in the fridge for a year, almost.
Well, yeah, almost. I mean, I think I would say the rule is if it's pale, it's a Fino or a Manzanilla, drink it quick. It's a white wine. It's delicate. And just think about the way it's been made. It's been aged under the floor. The floor's been scavenging oxygen out of the wine. We bottle the wine under nitrogen. You open the cap and you let all this oxygen in.
And it goes gobble, 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 gobble.
Exactly. It's going to start to degrade. So treat it like a white wine. Drink it quickly, you know.
Even more delicate than a white wine.
Well, yeah, the alcohol helps. So, you know, we would say drink it within a couple of weeks. But it does start to degrade immediately.
Mm.
When a wine has started to darken through aging in barrel through oxidation, like a Amontillado or an Oloroso, then clearly you can leave that wine longer because the oxygen has already got at it. It's not going to make it any more oxidized. So... Generally, the rule of thumb is Finos and Manzanillas. Anything pale, drink it quick. Anything that's dark, you've got a bit more, you know, a bit more chance.
Okay. And you'd said that Olorosos, which we'll talk about in a minute, Olorosos are, you know, they get the colour from the aging. I thought it was because they add caramel to Olorosos or to sherries.
No colouring.
Even on the really super cheap Harvey's Bristol cream. Obviously not the Gonzales Bias.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay, so this is the Amontillado, and in terms of popularity, I always think of Fino as sort of the epitome of Spanish sherry. I think that is, to me, is what I like.
Yep.
I'm not really, I don't have a sweet tooth, so I always think of Fino as as it there. But this Montiago is quite nice, quite different as well.
Yeah, it's not as popular. I think it's a bit more difficult to understand. I think when we talk about sherry, when we teach about sherry, we talk about the finos and olorosos being the sort of two building blocks of sherry, if you like. And a Montiago is a fino that's then developed in a different way, and so they're a little bit more difficult to understand, a little bit more complex actually wines. So not quite as popular. I think we generally sort of refer to a Montiago as an aficionado's sherry. And if you like a Montiago, you know your sherry.
Well, it's nice, but I'm a fino guy, so it's what I know, I suppose. Let's look at some of the sort of more heavier sherries. Jeremy, the next one we're going to try is...
A dry Oloroso.
A dry Oloroso. What is a dry Oloroso?
So, well, I mentioned that there are really two styles of sherry that we make everything from. Fino, from which we make fino and Amontillado, and older Amontillado, and even older Amontillado. And then there's Oloroso, which is the other style, if you like, apart from fino, which is where once the wine is made and we put it in a barrel, we give it a little bit of extra alcohol, which kills all the yeast. So there's no floor growth on the surface.
Yep.
And it ages in contact with the air from really the day it was born. And it still goes through a Solera system, but the whole time in contact with the air. So there's no influence of yeast. There's no flavor of yeast. There's no color protection for the yeast. You've still got all the other flavors and things in the wine that haven't been eaten up by yeast. Oloroso
in a lovely copper color.
Lovely copper color. And Oloroso in its natural state is always going to be dry. So unless you make a decision to sweeten the wine, like all sherry, it starts life as dry.
Yeah, that's why when you said that you don't add caramel, I was a bit surprised, because I thought a lot of the cheaper sherries were add a bit of caramel to color it, add a bit of sugar to sweeten it. And
maybe
then
they do. Now, I think there are, if you look at an Oloroso, like a cream sherry that's 3 years old, you couldn't get the color through age alone.
Yeah.
If you look at a medium Amontillado, then, you know, 3 years old, well, you can't go through full fino aging and then age as an Amontillado, and it wouldn't be sweet anyway. So these are more commercial styles, but nothing wrong with them, and lots of people enjoy them.
And does Gonzalo Baez make those sort of wines, or are you guys more the traditional
age? We make those wines as well if people want them, but we like to make our wines in a very authentic way.
Yeah, okay. All right. So on the nose...
So this is gonna fool you, because you're gonna think this is sweet, because
yeah, it does have that sweet nose. I've tasted it already, to be honest.
Yeah, have you? Right, it's got but that kind of slightly caramelly nose that you
yeah,
think sweet.
Yeah.
That's really the oxidation. It's got kind of dried fruit aromas.
It smells a bit like a tawny port, really, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly, because it's an oxidized wine. Yeah, but on the palate, although it is sweeter than the fino, technically, it is still a very very dry wine.
Yeah, it's not mouth bone dry, but it is definitely dry.
But the other thing it's got still is lots of glycerol that the fino didn't have.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it does have an extra weight through it. That gives it a touch of sweetness as well.
Yes, that helps as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, that
so
makes
it's
sense.
Still technically dry wine. The other thing you might notice is the higher alcohol.
No, I hadn't noticed that.
No, it's like burn from the alcohol, because it's another sort of 3 or 4 degrees of alcohol.
So what alcohol are we at?
This will be 17.5% or 18% alcohol.
Because fino is normally about 15.5%.
About 15%, yeah. 15.5%. I mean, really, fino, we ship fino at barrel strength. It has to be 15 by law, minimum, but we'll ship it at barrel strength. In the past, finos were fortified a little bit more, up to 17.5%, really just to help stabilize them. But technology's moved on. We bottle under nitrogen. The wine's very stable now in the bottle.
And is this a popular style? Dry Oloroso?
Dry Oloroso, again, like the Amontillado, not really a very popular style. Over here and in Spain, the style of Oloroso we'd normally drink will be a sweet Oloroso, which we also call a cream sherry.
Yeah.
And I think they have an unwarranted bad name. I'm going to make you drink a cream sherry in a minute that is absolutely fantastic, made extremely well.
So cream sherries is what I think my nana might make me drink, to be honest.
Yeah, very popular in Spain, lightly chilled. And I have to say over here, I think hopefully once you try it, you might find it's a style you quite like.
What would I eat with dry Oloroso?
Well, there's kind of a general rule of thumb, which is if it swims, drink fino; if it flies, drink Amontillado; and if it walks, drink Oloroso. So anything with legs, legs like I think jamón is really good. You know, a Spanish ham. Also, here in Barpapito, they have fecina, which is a air dried beef, which they serve with truffle oil. It's absolutely delicious. That's fantastic with this wine. So kind of more meaty type tapas as opposed to fishy type tapas, I would suggest.
Okay, and we're going to look at a sweeter Oloroso.
Sweeter Oloroso. So- introduce you to the other sherry grape, or one of the other two sherry grapes. This is this has some PX in it.
So Pedro Ximenez.
Pedro Ximenez, yeah. And
Let's get the pronunciation. Let's get the pronunciation. Absolutely.
Pedro Ximenez.
All right, not Pedro Ximenez.
No,
Pedro Ximenez.
Ximenez, yeah.
Ximenez.
Ximenez.
It sounds very Arabian.
Yeah, well, yeah, it probably originates from there. It's so PX is to make it easy, is a grape which is late harvested and then goes through a process called soleo, which is basically sunning. So it spends 2 or 3 weeks in the vineyard being baked in the sun and produces a raisin, which you press, which produces a thick juice, which you then ferment into either a PX sherry or PX for sweetening.
Okay, so it's a bit like an Amarone, really, how they dry the grapes out.
Yeah, except it's done outside, whereas Amarone's done inside, unless you're going to tell me the difference. Yeah, but ours is definitely done under the sun. So this wine here is almost the same wine as you just had, but before this went into the Solera, we put in around about 25% PX. So the wine is aged together with the PX for about 8 or 10 years, so it's completely married together. You can always tell PX in a sherry because it goes brown. All that lovely copper colour's now gone. It's brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then if you smell it, you should smell raisins.
I get raisins and yeah. It's lighter, isn't it? There's a top note there as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a bit of licorice and coffee, but the raisin is a giveaway for a PX in a sherry.
Okay, and that's the Pedro Ximenez coming through.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And then on the palate, what you should
but
find...
But it's not as sweet as I was expecting.
Well, it's actually incredibly sweet. It's about 120 grams per litre of sugar, which is sweeter than port. But the thing is that Oloroso sherry is slightly bitter, and in the same way that chocolate is a blend of sweet and bitter, then sweet cream sherry or sweetened Oloroso sherry is a blend of the bitterness of the Oloroso and the sweetness of the PX. So whereas you're often looking in wine to balance acidity with sweetness, here it's bitterness and sweetness. I find it quite drying on the finish.
Yeah, it doesn't come across as...
As sweet sherry.
Well, yeah, you see it was 125 grams.
Something like that.
That's well past late harvest.
Oh, God, yeah. It's well past port.
Yeah. There's a lot of sugar there, but it doesn't come across as sweet. You know, I could drink this without food and not think of it as a dessert wine.
Yeah. People will drink this in Spain as an aperitif, chilled. Yeah.
And it's very low in temperature. I was going to say, low in tannin, so you can chill it right down.
Yeah, it's lovely chilled. Really delicious.
I know it's a white wine, but it looks like a really old red wine.
Yeah. And that's a key thing to remember, that all sherry is white wine, whereas all port is red wine.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact they come from different countries and are produced different ways, you know, sherry is actually a white wine.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good. Now, the PX, we'll call it PX.
Yeah, PX, yeah.
That's why I remember it. I've had wines that are just 100% PX.
Well, should we try one of those?
Shall we? Yeah, no, that'd be good.
Yeah. We're going to give you the diet version.
So just 4,000 grams of sugar.
Yeah, well, we have a 30-year-old one, which is something like 450 grams per litre, which is almost half sugar. This is a bit less, about 400 grams per litre. This is about 10 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's got a real molasses type smell.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you can see the colour's very, very brown. PX on its own is not a particularly complex grape. It gets complexity through age.
Yeah, no, that reminds me very much. I used to have a girlfriend a long time ago who...
Smell like this?
No, she didn't. Well, sometimes. But she used to work as a jockey.
Right.
And one of her jobs was feeding the horses with molasses and all that sort of stuff. And it just...
Yeah, because it's almost half sugar.
Yeah, it's got that real sort
But there's
of...
no sugar added to this. This is just the grape that's been dried on the vine, then it's been dried in the sun, and you just press it and you get this thick syrup out. And then you just add yeast and try and turn it into wine. And this is what we end up with.
It is very thick. We used to have a PX like this. And I had a lady ran tastings for us at the time, and she said the best thing to do with this...
Pour it over ice cream.
It's pour it over ice cream. Exactly. Yeah. And I've done it, and it's
fantastic.
Quite nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been to restaurants where they serve a little shot glass of this and great vanilla ice cream, just expecting you to pour it over. Maybe have a little sip yourself, but no, it's great over ice cream. It's there's a bit of a fashion for PX now, and people are drinking it. But
we used to taste it with people who go to our tastings.
Yeah.
When we could get hold of a nice PX, and they loved it. They really liked it.
Yeah.
So it is a style that's quite popular, but is it quite expensive?
It is quite expensive to produce because it's quite labour intensive. I think our bottle of PX that you just had there is about £15 a bottle.
Oh, what size bottle is it?
Full size bottle, so not ridiculously expensive. It is more, it's quite expensive to produce because of the process. I mean, to press the grapes, you can't just use a standard press. You have to use a mechanical hydraulic press because it's, you know, you're crushing raisins to try and get a little bit of thick juice out of them.
Yeah.
So it's quite a difficult process.
I like it. And 15 quid a bottle is,
yeah,
for an unusual style.
Yeah. And aged in the same way, aged in the Solera system.
So it is Solera as well.
Totally.
Yeah. And how old is typical Solera?
Well, this one is probably about 8 or 10 years old, but we do a 30-year-old one, which is more concentrated because of the evaporation of water, and therefore more complex as well, because obviously you're starting to get oak flavors and flavors from aging.
And it's a pudding wine, so you'd be having this with the dessert, maybe.
Or as dessert.
As dessert, yeah.
I don't smoke at all, but I often think this would go well with a good cigar.
Yeah, there's almost like a tobacco note in there, isn't there?
Yeah, and a bit of licorice maybe in coffee.
Don't know about the coffee, but licorice, yeah. Yeah, okay, no, it's cool. It's got a lot going on for it, isn't it? And is this popular?
It's quite popular. There's a bit of a fashion around for PX on its own. I mean, it used to be just used as a sweetening grape, and it was made as a PX 100% just to demonstrate what it was like. But there has been a bit of a fashion for PX lately. So, yeah, it's quite popular.
And what would I have with it, apart from ice cream?
I would probably stick to something fairly simple like ice cream, yeah.
You don't think it needs anything else? In its own right, it does the business.
I think so, yeah. There's plenty of sugar there.
true. And what's your favourite sherry, Jeremy?
I would say, I'm not going to give you one, I'm going to give you two. I think Tio Pepe Fino is definitely up there as an everyday drink that, you know, you can just drink the whole evening. But I think also we have an old Palo Cortado called Apostolis, which is 30 years old, and it's just to die for. So that's up there as well.
Okay, and I must admit, I like Fino Sherry. I like Tio Pepe Fino Sherry.
Yep.
I tend to buy it at the supermarket because my instructions were, I remember when I was doing my diplomas, whatever you do, buy your sherry from somewhere that's going to be selling it a lot.
Yeah.
To get the real freshness in, because you don't want it sitting in a warehouse for a year or two before you get to it. Yeah. Is that a valid sort of comment?
I would say so, but I would say that it's not just supermarkets. Anywhere that sells a lot of Fino Sherry that is a place to buy Fino Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to buy it from the end of the corner dairy, which might have been sitting there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And one of the I like about Tio Pepe is... I'm unique in my own taste because my wife doesn't like Fino Sherry.
Sure, right.
And what I like is you guys sell it by the half bottle as well.
Yep.
Which is brilliant because it takes me about 3 days to get through a half bottle because I just, in the evening, if I've got a bottle, I'll start with.
You're not trying very hard, are you?
Yeah, I move on to other things. But, you know, I like to start the evening off with a wee Fino Sherry.
Yeah.
And then I'll move on to other drinks later on. If I want to, I can get a bit focused. But I like it that way. And I just find that that's quite nice. It just works as long as you pump it or gas it or something like that to preserve it. It seems to be pretty nice.
Yeah, it will last. It'll last. I mean, we would say 2 or 3 weeks, actually, in the fridge it will last.
Yeah. What about the other sherries? Are they all quite a...
Pretty much, if it's dark, it's fairly bulletproof. You don't want to heat it, but as long as it's kept at a reasonable temperature, once they're open, they're oxidized already. They're not going to go off.
So people talk about, you know, your granny saying, oh, I've got a bottle of sherry opened at 1982 for the... Princess Di and Prince Charles's wedding, you know. Do you want a glass?
You might be pushing it in 1982. I think it's too good to keep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how long do you think like a darker sherry, like an Oloroso, would keep once opened? A
few months.
So it's still not like you wouldn't expect it to last a year.
No, I mean, the 30-year-old sherries will last pretty much forever. I mean, they're not going to go off. Yeah, they'll last forever.
And last thing, we've talked about the Palomino grape. We've talked about the Pedro Ximenez grape.
Yep.
Is there any other grapes that they're using
sherry? Well, the third one is Muscatel.
Is it Muscatel?
Yeah, well,
Spanish flair.
It's the Muscat grape. So Muscatel. It's you don't see a lot of it. You're not supposed to use it for... if it says Muscatel on the bottle, it has to be 100% Muscatel. So you tend to find it as 100% grape. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. But watch this space. You might see some interesting Muscatel hitting the market later in the year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep an eye out for that. All right, then, Jeremy, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, bud.